ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 15 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And in our study of the book of Revelation, we've seen the wrath of God being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. We saw it in the seal judgments. We saw it in the seven trumpet judgments. And in Revelation chapter 7, we see the salvation of 144,000 Jews who become witnesses of Jesus Christ. And it's out of their ministry that a multitude of Gentiles, as well as Jews, get saved. As we moved into Revelation chapters 10 through 14, John's giving us a little break from the judgments. He's filling in some of the details that take place during the tribulation period. We saw in chapter 10, John's given this little book and told to eat it. And as soon as he takes it in, it's initially sweet. And then it begins to digest it and it became bitter. And we said that God's word is sweet in our lives and has many precious promises for us. And then the reality is, for those that reject Jesus, yeah, there's the coming judgment. And so it's bittersweet. Chapter 11, we saw the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. The blood and grain sacrifices start up again. The two witnesses, who I believe are Moses and Elijah. And I believe they're on the scene the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. And this is when the 144,000 are saved. They believe it's out of their ministry these Jewish witnesses come to Christ. Chapter 12, we saw Israel, Jesus, Michael the archangel, Satan, persecution of the remnant of Israel. Again, important section that you have to understand the characters, otherwise you're going to mess up on the book of Revelation itself. Chapter 13, we saw the beast out of the sea, the Antichrist, the beast out of the earth, the false prophet. And by the time we got to Revelation chapter 14 that we covered last time, we saw these 144,000 Jewish witnesses who were sealed by God for protection from the trumpet judgments now are standing on Mount Zion in heaven with Jesus. And then came those final judgments. And John in chapter 14 kind of ties it all up. Now he's going to go back. Chapter 15 is kind of a prelude to the bowl judgments. And these are the last judgments of God before the Battle of Armageddon. And, you know, you think that the seal judgments or the trumpet judgments were bad. They aren't anything compared to what these bowl judgments are going to be like. And, you know, some people, they don't get the harshness of this judgment. And I'll give you an example. In Isaiah 13, verses 6 through 11, listen to what we're told. Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be limp. Every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. This is the judgment of God coming upon a Christ-rejecting world. And just like when God flooded this earth back in Genesis, this is another judgment of God that is going to destroy the wicked. We see this also in Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 and 8 through 18. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. You know, the tragedy is today that man thinks that he's in charge. You know, you look at these people and they're very proud, they're very arrogant in the things they're doing. God is totally aware. And the tragedy is they're not going to get away with anything. In the end, they're going to lose. And it doesn't matter if you're wealthy, you have all the connections. When God pours out his wrath, that's going to be meaningless. And when I look at all that's going on in the world today, it seems like the day of the Lord is getting closer, that the rapture of the church is getting closer. And it's interesting, you know, I hate to bring the news into this, but the news likes to make all kinds of wild claims and make all these, you know, even the weather is major tragedies, right? You know, devastation. Why? Because it sells. And that's where we as Christians have to be careful. We're not selling something here. We have the truths of God found in the Word of God. And we need to stick to what the Word of God says and not add to it or take away. I'll give you a for instance about false information and how deadly it really could be. This happened back on Tuesday, January 29th, 1991. Radio listeners in St. Louis, Missouri were startled to hear that the end of the world was just moments away. This was in our time frame, guys. Regular radio program was interrupted by the jarring attention signal of the emergency broadcast system, followed by the voice of an announcer who said, "Your attention, please. This is not a test. The United States is under nuclear attack. I repeat, this is not a test." Scores of people who heard the news on their car radios raced home to be with family members when the missiles began to fall. Some made frantic phone calls to loved ones. "Get to a basement or a shelter now." "Yes, of course it's true. The radio said it was not a test." Others flipped the radio dial or turned on their televisions to get confirmation of the horrible news. Soon they discovered that only one radio station, KSHE, was carrying the alert. Everywhere else across the radio and TV dials, life went on as usual. And an hour after the initial panic, radio station personnel went on the air with an announcement that the alert was a fake broadcast, completely unauthorized by the station management. The station apologized for the actions of the disc jockey, John Ullett, who was attempting, in his words, to jolt people and make people think about the horrors of nuclear war. It jolted people, all right, but it was a stupid and irresponsible stunt, and the ensuing panic could have resulted in property damage, injury, or death for all its listeners. Fortunately, no one was hurt. But for a very few long minutes, a lot of people in St. Louis got just a faint foretaste of what the Earth's last trial will be like, a trial of fear, horror, death, and destruction unlike anything the world has ever known before. That's an incredible story. 1991. Now, thankfully, a lot of people turned on their television or turned to another station to kind of confirm what was going on. They thought, well, this is fake. It's not real. When God's judgment comes, it's not going to be fake. It's going to be real. And again, this is where we have to be careful. Over the years, there's been a lot of people who have set dates for the rapture of the church. We're not to set dates. We know the seasons, but we don't know the day the Lord is coming back for his bride, the church. So let's not be date setters. Let's not even say in the not too distant future, because we don't know for sure. I think the Lord's return is getting very close. But what if it's not? What if it's 5 years or 10 years or 15 years? We need to live like the Lord's coming back today. but also understand we need to live like he may not come back for another 20 years. We need to continue doing the work that God has called us to do. And again, because of all the stuff that's going on, and there's a lot of stuff going on, people have come to some false conclusions. For instance, one person was teaching that the COVID vaccine is the mark of the beast. Now, granted, he understands that the mark of the beast is not initiated until the tribulation period, probably when the Antichrist goes into the rebuilt temple after that period of time and demands to be worshipped as God. So his whole point was, it is the mark of the beast, but if you as Christians received it, you're okay because it's not activated until the 3.5-year mark of the tribulation period. Is that what the scriptures say? No. Here's my concern. When the boy cries wolf over and over again and there's no wolf, then the people get tired of hearing it. And so when you try then to say, hey, look, this is what's going on, they're like, yeah, I've heard that all before. We have to be careful. We have to be not adding to the Word of God or not taking away from the Word of God, but just speak it forth. There's so much going on in the world today. But I think the bigger picture for me, and hopefully for you, is how am I supposed to live during these times? Because I don't know about you, but that's a struggle. Because of all the garbage that's being thrown at us, right? How do I respond? How do I live? I know people were worried when I went to Russia. You know, someone said, you know, oh, man, Joe, there's a war going to break out. Russia's going to invade the Ukraine. What are you going to do? I'm going to Russia. That's where the Lord called me to go. I'm not going to, you know, what about all the COVID stuff? How could you go? You're so brave. No, I'm not brave. I just know what the Lord called me to do. Let's occupy until he comes. Let's continue doing the work. Let's not be afraid. And I think that's where a lot of Christians are today. They're afraid to go out of their houses. They're afraid to go anywhere. They're afraid to have contact with people. Pastor Joe, what if you die of COVID? I'm home with the Lord. But I'd rather be busy in ministry than sitting in my house doing nothing. That's why I went to Russia, because I knew that's what the Lord called me to do. So I didn't have any fears. And we have to keep that in mind. This is such an exciting period of time in our lives, guys. We could be the group of people, the church age, that closes out church history, and the Lord comes back. But even if he doesn't come back in our lifetime, we go to be with him. So it's a win-win. We don't lose anything. But let's just speak forth the truth. Let's not try to exaggerate things. Let's just speak what the Word of God has to say. And we're going to see here in Revelation that man's wickedness, evilness, pride, arrogance is going to reach its peak, and God is just going to put an end to it with these judgments that are coming. So let's begin reading Revelation chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. John said, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete." So here's another sign in heaven, and signs point us to something. And this is pointing us to the end of God's wrath. And these seven angels are holding the seven last plagues that are about to be poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. These are the bowl judgments. And again, these are horrible. These are so severe that life could not continue on much longer after these are all poured out. So that's the battle of Armageddon then, and the Lord comes back and establishes his kingdom. That has to happen. In fact, the word complete, teleo in the Greek, speaks of bringing an end to a determined goal. What's the determined goal? The completion of God's wrath. He's warned man. He's given man every opportunity. In fact, we saw that there's this angel going across the heavens, proclaiming the everlasting gospel, giving people one last chance before there is that point of no return. And by the time we get to these bowl judgments, they're past that point of no return. I really think that it is really getting close. Again, I don't want to be a date setter, but I do. I think we're living in very, very exciting times, and we should be the most excited people in the world. What's happened is for many Christians, they become very angry. They are lashing out at different groups of people. Here's the thing. If we do that, how are we going to witness to them? We can't. I think, well, here's the thing. No matter what anyone does to me, no matter how the persecution comes upon us during these days, I know where I'm going. And you know where you're going. We're going to go be with the Lord. Now, Paul, remember when he wrote Philippians, the epistle of joy, he was in prison. Okay? And it's interesting because he says that the palace guards are getting saved. Why? Well, because they're chained to Paul. Can you imagine 8 hours chained to Paul the apostle? They must have heard the gospel message over and over. They probably tried to run away, but they couldn't. Anyone want to change shifts with me? I'm with Paul. Oh, I don't want that guy. You stick with him. Now they're getting saved. And Paul also says, and many of the brethren in Rome are being encouraged because they see that the gospel can't be chained. People are getting, their lives are being transformed. It doesn't matter if you're in prison or out on the streets. You can't chain the gospel. And we got to keep that in mind. Now, again, when we talk about the wrath of God, that's a hard concept for many people. In fact, there's two different Greek words for wrath. One is orge, and that's the one that's most often used in the New Testament. It means, you know, angered from a settled disposition or temperament. But that's not the word that John used here. He used a different Greek word, thumos. And it's only found 11 times in the New Testament, that word. And 10 of those are found in the book of Revelation, which is interesting. Thumos is more of a volatile or passionate anger. And we tend to think of, well, did God lose control here? No, not at all. It's an anger that's under control. It's a righteous anger. God doesn't lose his cool. He's going to deal with sin. And like we said, when he deals with this wrath that he's pouring out, it's going to be complete now at the end of these bowl judgments. Now, think about how patient God is. When I turn on the news, I'm not very patient. They drive me crazy. When I'm, you know, driving down the road, someone's going 20 miles and it's 35 miles an hour. I'm not very patient. Think about all that God sees. He not only sees all the news, right? But he knows the thoughts and the intents of man's heart. We don't. We only see what's outward. So he sees all that. And we get angry at these things we see. Imagine what God sees. And look at how long-suffering, how patient he is. He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He's coming back as the Lion from the tribe of Judah to put away sin. In Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12, the psalmist said this, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." I was thinking about that. We want God to pour out his wrath on all those wicked people out there. But how much better are we? The only reason we're righteous is because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed into our lives by faith. Now we say, well, I'm better than that other, those people over there. I mean, look at what they're doing. I'll let you in on a little secret. They're not the standard. God's the standard. And if we lose that perspective, we're going to start looking down on people. God, just destroy them, wipe them out. No, God, pour out your grace and mercy. Bring them to saving faith. God's grace does come to an end. And we see that here in Revelation. And he's going to pour out his wrath, and it's going to be complete. Look at verse 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of gold. Now, I see the sea of glass as being the word of God. And it's interesting, you know, back in Revelation 4, 6, it seems to represent there the laver in the tabernacle and in the temple where the priests would come and wash themselves or cleanse themselves before they served the Lord. That's why I think this is a picture of the word of God. Because Paul speaks of the washing of the word of God in our lives. In Ephesians 5:26, Paul said that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. See, as we go out in the world, there's a lot of dirt that we accumulate into our lives. So as we read the word of God, it kind of washes us, it cleanses us. And I think that's what's going on here. The only difference between this and what we read in Revelation chapter 4 is that this is mingled with fire. Why? Why is it different here? Well, fire speaks of God's judgment. And I think the whole idea is God's judgment is going to be poured out according to God's word. When God poured out his wrath with the flood back in Genesis, Noah was preaching probably for 120 years of the coming judgment. They all knew it. They mocked it. They laughed at it. Today, we again are preaching the word of God, the coming judgment of God. People laugh and mock at it. But his judgment's going to come according to what he has said in his word. And here, these tribulation saints are standing upon the sea of glass or the word of God. I like that. I think for us today, if we start standing upon anything else besides God's word, we're going to be in trouble. And there is so much stuff out there today. So much stuff trying to trickle into the church, false teaching. You know, one of the big problems in Russia is that the government doesn't like the church, what America has brought in there. They have their Orthodox church, which they're okay with, but they don't like the church that's been brought in there. And the big reason is because of the Kingdom Now theology people who are trying to set up God's kingdom here on earth now, and then Jesus Christ will come back, which is not scriptural. Well, that's what they want to do. And the reason the government's clamping down on them is even raided their services is because they want to take over the government. Well, you know, any government doesn't want you to do that, let alone Russia. So they're clamping down because of that. We have to be careful again. You know, stand upon what God's word has to say. Be bold about what you believe in, especially in these days. You know, if we're in a boat and the boat's sinking and we're the captain and we're terrified, what kind of signal is that going to give to everyone else? It's going to make them fearful. But if we're there, hey, I've got this, we're under control because I have the manual and I know how to fix this problem. See, I know I have the manual and I know how to fix this problem. And the fix is Jesus Christ. Because before this even starts, this tribulation period, he's taken his bride home. So we don't have to go through this. And there's our answer to people. So if we're fearful, what kind of hope are we giving to people? We're not giving them any hope. Let's give them the hope of Jesus, because that's where true hope is found. And I love it because, you know, the world looks at these tribulation saints that have been martyred for their faith and are now with the Lord as losers, right? They're nothing. They're garbage. But they're with the Lord. The Lord sees it completely differently. They're victorious in Christ.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.